Welcome to Our Blue Bahamas. I am your host, Jasmine Colley. I'm the Outreach and Education Officer at Brief. And today we have a special guest. We'll be discussing our best scholar after completing 100 days of the Island School. So our special guest is Diamond Lundy. She's one of our current best scholars today. And before we dive into it, just to give you a little background, our BEST program is the Bahamas Environmental Steward Scholarship Program, and it's a partnership between Brief and the Cape Eleuthera Island School to train the next generation of environmental leaders. Welcome, Diamond. And first and foremost, congratulations on completing your Island School, your 100-day semester. So how does it feel now that you're back?
Going to be honest, it feels so weird. It doesn't feel like I'm actually back home. It feels kind of like a dream. Like I just came from the seas, a million other people with me diving almost every week, and now I'm just back home. I mean, it's amazing to see my friends and family, but it's just so different now.
Okay, so just reeling it back in. So tell us a little bit about your background. Like, what motivated you to become in the one of our best scholars? What was going through your head when you applied for the program?
So to be honest, my biggest motivation was Heather. I was a bit hesitant originally applying. I was like, no, I'm not ready for this. Like, I was also applying for universities at the same time, and then the opportunity came up to apply to be a best scholar. So I was a bit in the middle. I want to go to university, but then I also want this experience. So it was a lot of conversations with Heather telling me that this would actually help me solidifying what I wanted to do. And so I'd have to say she was my biggest motivation for applying.
Well, shout out to Heather. Just a little background. Heather is also a part of our outreach team, and she was previously a BEST scholar. So it was really nice to see how we have one generation just inspiring the next generation. And I think that's so important. And Diamond, you've been with us for a while. You're no stranger to the Brief operations, but where did you first hear about Brief?
I was online. I was looking for something to do. It was a hot summer day. I was home. I was bored. I needed something to do. Scrolling on Instagram, actually, and I found a Brief ad for a Saturday snorkel, and that's kind of how I got hooked up with Brief. Like, that started the long relationship we have now.
Wonderful, wonderful. So just a little background to our listeners. At Brief, we have a lot of programs where we would encourage the community to get their feet wet, to learn about ocean conservation. So we host a community snorkel every month. So if this isn't the time now, what I would want you guys to do is follow us on our social media at Brief242, at Brief, BREEF242, and you don't know, you may end up around this, just having a similar journey like Diamond. And it's so nice to hear that some of our other programs has led into other things. So, okay, so back to the Island School. So, like, what were your expectations going into the Island School? And how did the reality compare? I know you said you had Heather telling you about it, but tell us your experience.
So I knew it was going to be like a academically challenging experience, a physical challenging experience. And I went there like, okay, I got this. I saw what they put on the website. When you get there, it's not what you actually have to do what you saw. I remember in the first week, we had a 4-day kayak expedition. I've kayaked before. Not to that extent. 4 miles, 3 hours. It was life-changing, but it was hard. Like, I really had to sit down and put the effort into it. So going in, seeing, and, you know, hearing that it was going to be hard, but then actually doing the hard thing, it's very different.
Wonderful. And then also, too, which I wanted to just plug in right here, being a part of the 100-day semester, you know, you're not allowed to have your phone. So I know one of the biggest things at Island School is disconnect to reconnect. So tell us how it was for you, and tell other kids your age and other teenagers and young adults how it felt not having your phone, going through these miraculous life-changing experiences?
For me, not having my phone wasn't like that big of an issue for me. I remember when we touched down in the Rock Sound Airport, they brought out this box with some plastic bags and they're handing them out saying, put your phone and your passport in here and write your name. And I was like, oh, this is happening now. I thought we were going to wait till we got to the school. Thought it was going to take a bit longer. No, as soon as we touched down, phones are gone. Now, that forced you to have conversations with the people around you. That is how I made my friends. Like, the phone, you don't really need it. And I realized that while I was there. Like, it didn't hinder me from talking to anybody. Like, it forced you to use your social skills that you would assume you've developed over time. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal for me. I'm not necessarily attached to it.
Oh, wonderful. So you have that diamond is saying you don't need your phones as much as you... Because I know sometimes we get so wrapped up in just picking up our phones and notification and 100 days without it, and you're telling us we don't need it. And it's like you said, it helped you made more friends. So just going back to a typical day, you wake up, you're in the program. So tell us how an average day would look like for you.
Average day. So during the academic week, I'd say my favorite day, I'll describe that one, it had to be Thursdays. 7:55, wake up in circle. Breakfast. Now, Thursdays are research days the entire day. So my research group was marine mammals. So from 9 o'clock in the morning, we go out on the boat and we go to Exuma Sound, a specific location, Tommy Point, and we survey the area because our focus was on beaked whales. So from 9 to 4, you're out on the boat in the hot sun all day with your research advisor and your research group, which is the rest of the students that were selected for that specific research group. And you're out there with them all day surveying, learning about that animal, how to use the equipment like hydrophones and like these big digital cameras. And like, that was like the highlight of my week. Like, that was my favorite day. And then you get back at 4:30 is exploration time. So you get to go out into the island with specific boundaries in place of how far you can go, where you can go, what time you have to be back. And that will usually go from 4:30 to 5:30. And at 5:55, we have dinner circle. So that's when we gather around the flagpole, do our kudos and namis, and talk about everything that you've been through today, run through the schedule for the evening, and then we have dinner.
Okay, so you say kudos and namis. Remind me what a nami is.
So a nami is a nature appreciation moment. So say if I saw a lemon shark today at the beach at Circle, you say nami to the lemon shark and everybody would go yahoo.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so a nature appreciation moment. I'm going to take that. So, and you're saying, okay, so how does that compare to like regular school, or how would you compare before you yet your academic journey before the island school? How the island school one was a bit different to you?
The island school's academic approach is definitely more hands-on. It was a lot of real-world situations that they brought into the classroom, or they took you out the classroom entirely, and that's where we had class. I know for sustainable systems, that was technically our math class, we call it SUSE. So we learned about the water systems, the wells. We went on field trips to these places, walked around and see how we could improve them at the island school. So that was basically it wasn't just sitting down, doing math problems, looking at the board, listening to a teacher. It was actually being out there and putting like your input in to create a better solution.
Oh, that's amazing. So what I'm hearing is a lot of experiential learning activities and hands-on and research. So how did the curriculum shape your own understanding of what conservation and leadership is? Like you just mentioned, the math class was called
sustainable systems.
So how did the curriculum help you connect to real conservation problems and real conservation leadership issues?
I know for a class for creative writing, for a class we went diving, which was awesome, by the way. And so we dove, we looked around, and then we had to come back and write an essay on what we saw, on how we felt about what we saw, and on if other people would be able to have this same experience about what we saw. And that, you sit back and think of, like, not everybody has this experience, not but everybody has the, like, I would say the privilege to be conservative, I would say, I guess. It's really different. It makes you look about how you actually think about what you're experiencing, like conservation. Not many people know what that is. Not many people actually would know, like, what to say about it. So I guess it's that.
So how, I mean, I'm just veering off a little bit. So how would you tell, how would you explain conservation to someone who's out here listening? There's probably someone interested in a BASS program. They're thinking about applying. So what would you tell them about what conservation is and why they should possibly engage in a program like this?
Okay, so I'd say conservation is wanting to keep what you have. You need to conserve to be able to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. And so sustainability is being able to maintain what you have for future generations so everybody can benefit from it. So we need to be able to know how to use everything properly, consistently, not being wasteful about what we're doing. And yeah,
and right now, like one of the global challenges we're experiencing is climate change, and a lot of persons are so out of touch than how it really impacts them. And, you know, it's just so much things that can be done to actually help alleviate the issue. So just moving into the impact, like, how has your perspective on the Bahamas environment changed? I know you would have mentioned being on boats, diving. Like, I don't know about you. When I was that age, I had no idea. If you told me what research was, or if you told me about scuba diving, I would have been lost. So tell us, like, how your perspective changed since being in your 100-day semester.
Like, honestly, I wasn't out there diving or, like, snorkeling every day. But then going to the island school, that's what you're doing. So you get to see the underwater so much more differently. Like, you're diving, you're seeing the coral reefs, you're seeing the fish, you're seeing all these different types of species that you usually only see through, like, photos or just, like, on a camera. And so you're just looking at it, and it's different. It makes you feel different. Like, I live in this country, but I didn't know all that stuff was there. Like, I'm on land most of the time. Like, going underwater, actually seeing what's there makes such a big difference in how you think. I think I took it for granted a lot because I didn't realize that was there. Like, overfishing, overtaking everything down there is going to disrupt, like, how it functions. So it's made me be more grateful for what we have.
And I love what you said just now, because, you know, being a part of the outreach team, you know, we do a lot of field trips. We have other programs. We have our Sea Pilot program with students from C.R. Walker. We have the YRE program where students can actually talk about certain issues. And a lot of persons don't know what we have. And it's just such an, I think it's just so beautiful hearing that you have a different outlook on and how being so exposed to it have widened your vision on our ocean ecosystems. So what advice would you give a student applying for the next BASS cohort? Before I get into that, we do have a BASS, we do look for BASS students every year, and the application normally closes in sometime in February. But tell us, what message you want to tell the student applying for the next BASS cohort?
I'd say go for it. Even if you're scared, it's the most amazing experience you will ever have. And while you're there, find more ways to say yes than you can say no, because you will miss out on a lot of experiences. It's going to be challenging, it's going to be hard, but I can guarantee you it's something that you're going to love at the end of it.
Wonderful. And I like how you just said, go for it, do it scared. You know, sometimes, if you tell me to go in a program where I don't have my phone, I can't, I'm going on a 4-mile kayaking adventure, like, saying yes to that. So, like, tell us how you power through your yes moments. Because I can't imagine.
I know faculty, I was hesitant a lot for certain things, mm-hmm. and they were like, find more ways to say yes. Find more ways to say yes. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to do that. So I go for an experience on expeditions. This was our 8-day kayak. And then we have a 2-day solo. So you're by yourself on a strip of beach. People are there, don't worry, you're safe. So...
Disclaimer.
So you're there, you're with yourself, you're not talking to anybody around you, you're there with the environment. I was very scared being on that beach by myself for 2 days, but it allowed me the chance to sit down and reflect on how I was as a person, the way I want to carry out the rest of the semester that I have, and what type of legacy do I want to leave on this place. So I think doing it scared will assist with all those, like, the nervousness you have, because trust me, it's not only you there that is terrified of doing this thing. There are a lot of other people there that can help you and support you through it. So I say, yes, go for it, do it. There are people there to support you.
Okay, wonderful. So, like you said, do it scared, find more yes, ways to say yes. But tell us more about this solo trip. Like, I felt like you just breezed over that. So tell us about your solo trip. So you said, so tell us.
I don't want to give away too much, you know. Gotta enjoy the experience when you get there. But it's 48 hours by yourself with, they give you food, they give you stuff to sleep with, and you're out there on the beach day and night. And there are faculty members walking by to make sure you're okay. But I can't say too much, but it's a really nice experience. Like, solo is a transformative experience for so many people. And I think everybody should be able to, like, experience something like that. Yeah.
And I hear a lot of self-reflection. I saw a lot. So do you think that you've grown since you've been in that 100-day semester? Do you think you're the same person? You think you have has anything changed?
I think something has changed. I have a different appreciation for nature and just being grateful about the things we usually take for granted, like the amount of water that we have. I know there were some days in my dorm there was no water. Coming home to water, I have learned to be so grateful for such things that I would take for granted. Water, food, everything like that. You realize how much you appreciate what you already have more than what you think you need.
I don't know if any parents are listening, but do you have this? She's coming back. She's saying she have more appreciation for everything, for food, for water. I don't know if you have a niece, if you have a daughter or a son interested, I'd urge you to just check us out at brief.org, which is BREEF.org, and just look at the application. And we have here Diamond Live telling us about her own experience as a best scholar when she did the 100-day semester at the Island School. So I really want you to think about this. If you could encapsulate, like, your whole adventure. And by the way, the 100-day semester is only halfway done with the program. You're going to come with the brief office. You're going to intern with us and also some of our partners. But what message at this point you want to share with the Bahamian youth about becoming ocean stewards?
I'd say just do it. We live on an island. The ocean is a part of that, and you can do something about it, whether it be big or small. You don't need to be a scientist. You don't need to have the biggest degree in the world. Just a little thing. Maybe let's start with a beach cleanup or just a little talk about water pollution. Just something small can kickstart a really big thing.
Wonderful. And just for our persons too, the Bahamas Environmental Steward Scholarship, which is the best, is more than a scholarship. It's a life-changing launch pad for young Bahamians ready to become the next wave of environmental defenders. And just remember, it's powered by BRIEF and also the Cape Elytra Island School. This prestigious program offers a full academic scholarship paired with hands-on experience, all endorsed by the Ministry of Education. And I just want just to take it back, since its creation, BEST has empowered over 50 young scholars across the Bahamas to take bold steps into the sustainability science, marine ecology, and global conservation advocacy. And I just really, and I'm just really proud of you, Diamond, for making this bold decision and actually being one of the best scholars now and having this experience to how on how you're going. So tell us a little bit more on your next steps.
Well, my next steps, just waiting on that BRIEF internship. I'm actually very excited for that. I can't wait to see what I get to do.
We can't wait to have you in our office and get you rolling on some of our outreach initiatives. So definitely that. And just going back on the scholarship, if persons are interested, this scholarship covers the semester or summer term at the Island School. It's also a full scholarship towards tuition. Parents and family do have to come up with a tiny portion, which is a family contribution of $500, but it has round trip flights between Nassau and Eleuthera, and then also it'll also have an internship placement through BRIEF. And persons who are really interested in getting into this program, the applications are now open, and you can connect. You can call us at our office, which is 327-9000. Again, I'll say it, 327-9000. Or you can contact one of our outreach persons, Heather. She's the coordinator for the BEST scholarship, and her email is heather@brief.org, which is heather@BREEF.org to get the application. And I'm just so happy to just be a part of this program, to have you here, Diamond. I just want you to give us one more thing. I want you to right now, there are a lot of listeners from young and old, persons who possibly may be interested in a program like this, but what advice or one last thought you want to leave them with before we conclude?
Just do it. Don't second guess yourself. You see the application, you want to do it, it's the first thing you want to do it, send it in, just do it.
And then also tell us how is the application process.
The application process, you sit down and think. You put effort into the application. Trust me, you put effort into the application. A bit of personal information, a bit of what you want to do.
So tell them about it. Do you have to create a video? Do you have to write?
I know after the application, you create a picture with yourself and a little bit of like a story about yourself and why you are so interested in this program. What you're interested in becoming later in the future and how this program can help you achieve that. So just little questions like that.
Thank you so much, Diamond. And thank you. This concludes our episode of Our Blue Bahamas. Don't forget to follow us at BREEF242, which is BREEF 242. And you'll get to see a lot of our other programs. And we are so eager to talk to you on something else on our next episode.